Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast today. Going to talk about Iran, of course, on the broadcast today. And before we get to the major story I want to share with you, I want to set the tone of our broadcast today, because a little later on I'm going to be talking about the compassion of Jesus in our Bible feature. This morning, let's fix our thoughts and intentions on the character and the compassion of our God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He always keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. It's one of my favorite psalms that describes the compassionate, forgiving, gracious character of our God. And what I love so much about our God is that He cares about the oppressed. He hears the cries of the oppressed. And this morning, I want to feature a story. I've been following this story for more than 3 years, and it is a heart-wrenching story. It's the story of Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, who is a dual citizenship person, and she was born in Iran, and she became married to a man in the UK and lived in the UK. She's a dual citizen, and I want to share the latest news on her imprisonment in Iran. And this is from The Guardian, and it is about Nazanin Ratcliffe being moved to the mental health ward in Iran. Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, the British-Iranian woman detained in Tehran for more than 3 years, has been transferred to a mental health ward where Iran's Revolutionary Guards have prevented relatives from contacting her, and that's according to her husband. Richard Ratcliffe said his wife was moved from Evin prison on Monday to the mental health ward of Imam Khomeini Hospital. Her father tried to visit her there, but was repeatedly denied access by the guards, who also prevented him from calling his daughter, according to Richard Ratcliffe. Her relatives expressed serious concern on Wednesday, saying it was really quite unusual for political prisoners to be guarded by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps rather than the regular prison guards during hospital treatment. Zaghari Ratcliffe was arrested at Tehran's Imam Khomeini Hospital, or airport, excuse me, while traveling with the couple's daughter back in April of 2016 and accused of spying. The Thomson Reuters Foundation employee faced charges of spreading propaganda against the regime. She vehemently denied, of course, this allegation, saying she was in Iran to visit her family. And her account, of course, was backed by her employee. But she was sentenced to 5 years in jail in September of that year, 2016. However, she was further imperiled when Boris Johnson, the then foreign secretary, who is now frontrunner to become the next prime minister, mistakenly said that, quote, she was teaching people journalism, unquote, in Iran. While he corrected his error, it was cited as evidence against her. In 2016, a UN working group said it considered Nazanin Ratcliffe to have been arbitrarily detained. According to those campaigning for her to be freed, she said, shortly before she was transferred to this ward, I was healthy and happy when I came to Iran to see my parents. 3 and a bit years later, and I am admitted to a mental health clinic. Look at me now. I ended up in an asylum. It should be an embarrassment. Prison is getting harder and harder for me. I hate being played in the middle of a political game. I just hate it. The couple recently held simultaneous hunger strikes in London and Iran. On Wednesday, Richard Ratcliffe, her husband, said, quote, Nazanin hoped that her hunger strike would move the Iranian authorities, and it clearly has. Hopefully, her transfer to the hospital means that she is getting better treatment and care, despite my distrust of just what pressures can happen behind closed doors. It is unnerving when we don't know what is going on. Now, earlier this year, the current foreign secretary and Tory leadership hopeful Jeremy Hunt granted Zaghari Ratcliffe diplomatic protection in a bid to resolve her case. But as you know, in the last few days, tensions between the two countries have really heightened, especially when the Marines seized an Iranian supertanker suspected of carrying oil to Syria off the coast of Gibraltar. Last week, 3 Iranian boats tried to intercept a British tanker in the Gulf before being driven off by a Royal Navy warship. The point I want to get to about this case is that the tensions are something else right now. They have captured 2 tankers, 2 British tankers. And the Iranians are doing everything they can do to provoke the United States in getting into a war with them. They are desperate with the sanctions that have devastated their economy, and they're doing whatever they can to get to the bargaining table. with the United States. And of course, we're not playing that game. This is not the appeasement doctrine that Obama did when he was president by funneling billions of sanction relief money to the mullahs who've spent it all on terrorism. With Donald Trump as president, we have found a way to stop, destroy, and cancel the nuclear deal and prevent the Iranians from funneling their terrorism. This article was written on the 17th, and I just want to bring to our attention that since then, of course, there have been these events in the Straits of Hormuz with the Iranians intervening by capturing two British tankers and putting the world on high alert. All of this that is going on, and this poor young British dual citizen who only came to Iran 3.5 years ago to visit her parents with her child, she was snatched on the way back at the airport and right around Easter time was imprisoned and charged with spying. The dual citizenship crisis is something we have to pay attention to. It seems like the Iranian regime kidnaps, captures, and imprisons those with dual citizenship to use them as bargaining chips. And that has been the case here with Nazanin Radcliffe. Her husband, of course, just a few weeks ago, went on a hunger strike in front of the Iranian embassy in the UK. And it was a wonderful sight. Here was a man dedicated to being a voice for his wife. At the same time, his wife in prison was on a hunger strike. This went on for 2 weeks until Nazanin had to give in. It was too difficult for her. And she was thinking about her daughter. She didn't want anything serious to happen to her. She wanted to see her daughter again. And so this hunger strike ended. But this has been going on for dear Richard for more than 3.5 years. His life has been just in turmoil, and because of his wife being a prisoner of Iran. I opened the program talking about the compassion of our God. And I think of Nazanin, and I think of Psalm 72, which says of our God that he hears the cries of the oppressed, and certainly he hears the cries of Nazanin and Richard. And I wanted to focus in this morning on that beautiful character aspect of our God who understands the pain that Nazanin is suffering in this mental health ward, being prevented from seeing her father, her child, talking to her husband. It seems that the Iranian regime will stop at nothing to use her in their desperation as some type of political pawn. And as her health continues to deteriorate, and as Richard Radcliffe continues to fight and fight against the depression and the outrage this is causing him, I think of the compassion of our Lord and that he understands her pain, because Jesus knows all about pain, being our Savior and dying on the cross for our sins. I want to read to you from Matthew's gospel that talks about our living Savior who is a compassionate Savior. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. These disciples, these followers, those that were being healed by Jesus, they were helpless and confused. They needed a shepherd. They were like sheep without one. And Jesus came not to just demonstrate his deity and messiahship by performing miracles, but he came to show compassion on the hurting, on the despaired, on the confused, on the helpless, as our text says. One other verse that fits so well to this account in Matthew's gospel. It's one that we're all familiar with, and I want to read it to you. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, remember, the disciples of Jesus had been under a religious system by the Pharisees and the scribes that put so many burdens on them to become acceptable to God through their good efforts, their good works, through their observances. They would put a yoke upon the disciples too impossible to bear. And Jesus, filled with compassion, wanting his disciples to know the true God of compassion, said to them, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus, seeing the hurting, the downtrodden and despaired, put on a yoke, an impossible burden by the religious Pharisees of the day, called out to them, "You who are weary and carry heavy burdens, come to me. I will give you rest." And that's what he is saying, I believe, to Nazanin and to Richard. "I understand your pain. I understand the burden that you are suffering. I have heard the cries. I have seen the tears in the night. Come to me, Richard and Nazanin. You who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest." It's an invitation to salvation, to finding our rest in Christ, to understanding that he is a God of great compassion, that he understands our pain. And so as we think of Nazanin in this mental health ward today, being treated like a criminal when she is innocent of all these bogus charges, being separated from her family, her husband, her child, I want you to think about the compassion of our Lord and pray that he would pour out his mercy and compassion and break the chains, the yoke that is upon her, and bring her freedom and bring her justice. And right now, with what's happening in the Straits of Hormuz with the two British ships that were confiscated, now prayer and crying out is more important than ever. And so this morning, we cry out to our compassionate God for the freedom and the justice of Nazanin Ratcliffe and Richard Ratcliffe, suffering and facing despair and anguish every day over this 3.5-year captivity. And as I think this morning about this situation, about this young Iranian woman, and I think about the political turmoil in our world, and I think about the grace and the compassion of God to those people crying out in despair, I think about this beautiful song by Chris Tomlin called "Amazing Grace." And let's listen to it this morning on the cross in the desert.
Like me. forbear to shine. But God, who calls me here below, will be forever. Will be forever.
The amazing worship talents of Chris Tomlin, and Amazing Grace, a song that really fits the theme, the mood of our program this morning, the compassion of Jesus. We can never say enough about compassion and what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to break the chains of sin that had kept us in captivity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bring release to the captives and downtrodden. And Jesus came to set us free from the power and the dominion of sin. And the gospel is about him. It is focused on who he is and what he came to do. Oftentimes, many, many churches try to make the gospel into something about us, about our needs, about our finances, about our health. And while God cares about all of those things, the focus is not that. The focus is on Jesus. The focus is on who he is and what he came to do. He came to reveal the compassion of our God. He came to pour out his compassion upon the hurting and suffering who were bound by chains of sin. And this morning, as we think about Nazanene Ratcliffe and Richard, we think about a situation in the midst of political chaos and turmoil. We think about a couple that simply want to be together again, to want to have a normal life and be with their daughter and put all of this turmoil and suffering and grief behind them. And of course, that is a very normal wish. But I have sat behind this microphone and have watched the Lord do amazing things in response to my prayers and the response of all of our prayers. Saeed Abedini, released 3 years ago, held captive in Iran, released. My dear friend Sholi Pakravan and her daughter Shahzad, who were fleeing the government in Iran, were refugees in Turkey. I prayed and spoke out. They were given status, asylum status in Germany. And today, 2 years later, they are assimilating. And they have been set free from the turmoil in Iran. And so I watched, and my dear friend Maral, just 4 years ago, called me on WhatsApp to tell me that she had to flee from Iran because the police were pursuing her, that she would have likely been put in prison. She fled with a refugee group into Germany. And now, 4 years later, a very productive young Iranian woman, free from the turmoil of Iran. I wrote her story in a book called Finding Hope and Freedom. What I'm trying to say is God has been so gracious and so compassionate to answer my prayers, and I am praying and asking God to do the very same thing for Nazanene Ratcliffe and her husband Richard, and I know our God is faithful. And so this morning, as you go about your daily chores, please remember Nazanene Ratcliffe and her husband Richard, and pray for God to speedily reunite them, to set her free from these bogus charges in a prison in Iran. Lord, we call upon your name, the mighty name of Jesus. It's been great to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for being with me on the broadcast. I will see you once again this Friday or this Thursday for the Cross in the Desert. God bless you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Cheers.